You're listening to the Kingwood United Methodist Church Contemporary Sermon Series in Kingwood, Texas. Thank you for downloading.
We've had the joy over the last few weeks of working through a series called Alignment, where we've been talking about how to be in alignment with God, how to be in alignment with community, with one another, and what could it look like if we were really in alignment? What could God push us to that we couldn't accomplish without God? That I need you every hour. What if we weren't relying on God and we couldn't accomplish something that He was truly leading us to? I hope and pray that over the weeks that you maybe tried out some fasting if you've never done that before, and that maybe you've created a regular pattern of fasting and prayer that will extend long beyond this sermon series. I've already heard different times. I heard somebody the other day that just came and they said, you know, on Thursday, here's what I thought about the situation. I was negative. I thought it was going sideways. But after I really took it to the Lord and I really prayed about it on my day when I was fasting, I came back from it with a fresh set of eyes at the situation. Gaining alignment with God through that. We've talked about what it means to be aligned with God in Scripture. We've talked about what it means to be aligned with God and one another, in alignment with the church of all time, and what that means in worship, and how we're repostured and redirected in worship. We've talked about it in discipleship, and we watched Simon make some great claims of faith that he was willing to do something that Jesus said, I want you to do it, even when it wasn't logical or reasonable to him. He still said, okay, God, because you asked it, I'll do it. Today we add a piece into it that is the piece of mission and a conversation about how does mission draw us in alignment with God and with one another? What does that really do for us? If you've been around here any length of time, you'll know that at the heartbeat of Kingwood United Methodist Church is a missional church in nature. Has been for a long time. In fact, I was just thinking about the last couple of weeks since Imelda decided to drop a lot of water on us. Once again, we've been busy going to people's homes, mucking out houses. Harris County Flood Assistance has been here with the Red Cross and other organizations. As of like about late Wednesday, Thursday, they'd helped over 1,400 people through those doors, ways of reaching out. We've started receiving applications for people who need financial assistance. Those are available. And between that and fundraisers and outside donors, we've already received like about $31,000. It's, again, your generosity and what you helped to make happen. We had a group of A&M students who were here in town yesterday with a leader that went out to different sites around town. And so we're responding, we're feeding, we're doing, we're in the middle of it. Also in the middle of that, I and Jim Welch and Mary Mine and I went to Haiti for a few days, and we went down there with some things that we needed to accomplish and some things that we wanted to do, and thankfully, the one thing that we needed to accomplish, we did, but a lot of things that we wanted to do kind of got scuttled because we found ourselves in the middle of a lot of political unrest, to the point of being escorted back to the airport behind a pickup with six or seven guys in riot gear and semi-automatic weapons. Things went kind of south, but God still shone through. I'm going to tell you a little more of that story in a minute. Purvis Harper, if you know Purvis, he's in Tanzania right now. He's relieving a pediatrician in a hospital so that person, I forget why she's leaving her post for a little while, but he's over there doing hospital rounds like he hasn't done in a long time. This weekend, there's a Kairos team in a prison, in the Hightower prison. We talk about Kairos around here like, oh yeah, Kairos, oh yeah, they're in prison. They're in prison, people. They're taking the gospel into prisons, and I'll be doing that next week. Probably by this time next week, I'll have hopefully gotten to walk down death row and hand men who have received a death sentence a bag of cookies and tell them that God loves them, looking straight in their face. Also, I told you a little bit about the anti-human trafficking opportunity, Go Box training. We're engaging with Freedom Place, helping them out. Oasis Ministry is active. We had a day where we went and just loved on their staff that works in the middle of caring for boys in residential treatment center all the time. And all those kinds of things. That was literally the last 2 weeks, friends. And all that was on top of Society of St. Stephen's that's open Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Mission Northeast, and Feed My Lambs, and all those things that we do. This place does a lot of missional work. We do. But our conversation today isn't just to lift all those things up and pat ourselves on the back and say, woohoo, we're a great missional church. Thanks be to God. Well done, good and faithful servants. It's about, what's at the heartbeat of that? And how do we go deep in our understanding of what God is trying to lead us to in the missional life of our church? So God, I need you. We need you. In this moment, we need you. In this conversation, we need you. God, pour your words through me. God, pour your prayers through our lips. God, draw our minds to you. Help us to not be distracted by what we're going to do next after this, but to just be here for these few minutes to hear you speak to us. And God, if that's through me or in spite of me, just keep me behind your cross. And may your Spirit speak the words we need to hear through Christ our Lord. Amen. So I just want us to know, and I want to lift up, that being a missional church is more than just doing a lot of good stuff. It's more than being busy. It's more than, and no matter how good the deeds are, no matter how good the work is, that there's more to being a missional church than just doing a lot of things that we would classify as missional. In fact, at the base of this is knowing that missions do not originate from us. Mission is a movement of God in the world. God has a mission, and God calls us to be involved in it. God's mission moving into the world and asking us to be the instruments, to be the means of grace, to be his hands and feet. But it's his mission. There is a church because God has a mission. It's not a mission because the church decides on it. God has a mission and he invites the church to come and be involved in that. So to participate in mission is to participate in the movement of God out in the world. And so when we're in someone's house and we're mucking their house, it's a good deed to go and muck their house, and it's a necessary task. But while we're there, church, we need to be offering the words that there is a God who restores through the water. There is a God who will take a home that's down to its studs and will rebuild it. There is a God who will take our lives that are down to their studs at time and rebuild it. And when we go and we drill a well somewhere, it's great to have a nice water source for people. But if they don't understand that we're motivated to come and be a part of the mission that God wants them to discover the living water, then we haven't really been in mission. We've just drilled a well. Now, these thoughts come together in this concept that really is crystallizing and coming together in the 20th century in many ways, called Missio Dei, the mission of God, the sending of God. The word mission means send. And it's so important for our understanding and our actions, because when we're mission-centered, then we are in alignment with God's mission and God's heart. Mission aligns us with the mission of God that originates in God, not us. It doesn't start with us. David Bosch is a leading voice in helping with this understanding. He says it this way: mission is not primarily an activity of the church, but an attribute of God. Do you hear that? It's not just what we're doing. It's who God is. He goes on to say, God is a missionary God. And so hear these words of sin. God the Father sent the Son. God the Father and the Son sent the Spirit. God the Father and Son and Holy Spirit send the church into the world. Do you hear that alignment of being sent? That alignment with God, and when we're being the church and following that path. The church is not the purpose and goal of the gospel. We are created to be the witnesses of the gospel. That being a missional church is not how can we do this and how can we grow in numbers. It's how can we be in alignment with God, because when we're in mission, it involves being in alignment with God. And sometimes when we're in alignment, when we're in relationship like that with God, when God's very presence is showing up, he can take us places we didn't expect to go. Yeah, I got on a plane. I headed to Haiti. I had my little list of things that needed to get accomplished. And as we were there, and as the political unrest increased, we found ourselves with the ability to do less and less and less on one level. What we had the ability and the time to do was to pray more and more. A cool thing was happening while we were there. There was a group from Virginia, and they'd been down several years before. They'd met a guy named Michael. They even had T-shirts that said Project Michael. And they had met him several years ago in Minutree, a village close to where Mission of Hope is in Tetignan. And they had met him, and they decided to build him a house. It was going to cost $6,600. So they raised money with the desire of, oh, we'd really like to be able to do more than this. They raised $10,954, and they wondered, what's the extra for? And found out it was $4 different than what a pastor in that community needed alongside building a Michael house. They were there building Michael this house, but the cool thing was they were building relationship with Michael this whole time. And while they were painting his house, Michael said, I want to be baptized. So here we are, not getting to do the things that we thought we were there to do, and all of a sudden we're in this incredible, cool spiritual baptism story. And on Wednesday, we were going to go down to the ocean, and we were going to join them because we couldn't do anything else. And the cool thing was it was happening right there, and let's go do it. Well, we got confined to the compound. We couldn't leave at all. So they went and brought Michael. I should have brought a picture. They brought him to Mission of Hope, and we found a big white rain barrel. Filled it with water, and skinny Michael got in there, and we immersed him in baptism. And no matter how dark the clouds were getting with the political unrest around us, no matter how much we were confined, God had a mission. And God was drawing Michael into that, and he was using this team from Virginia and us and others to do his will in alignment with him. Jesus says it this way, actually, in the Gospel of John, John chapter 20. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Do you hear that? And with that, he breathed on them, the disciples, but also us, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. I want to lift up, I included that last verse. Part of me went, I don't really want to get into that forgiven, unforgiven stuff. But I want to show you that part of the mission is not just building wheelchair ramps. Part of the mission of God is going in with a word of forgiveness and proclaiming the good news. And when the Spirit sends us, when we're filled with the incarnational presence of Christ, when we're going with the good news that he lives, and the Spirit empowers us in mission and leads us and guides us and strengthens us and fills us to be poured out, and when we know that we need him every hour, and when we're relying on him, then the mission that God has will be achieved. And the church doesn't just do that mission. God does the mission by the Holy Spirit through the church. When we're aligned to serve, and when we serve with one another, we become more aligned with one another. So what does this look like? I read you a little bit of Luke 4 earlier. Let me add a few more verses to that. Luke 4, starting in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 14. So Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, that story, that doesn't happen at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. If you go down a couple of verses, Luke himself says he's already been doing stuff in Capernaum. But Luke positions that story at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry so that everything else we read and hear in Luke and Acts, we are going to see through the lens of that mission of God that he sent Jesus to do. And he begins by telling us, did you see? He's filled with the power of the Spirit. That same sending Spirit that sends us has commissioned him, has given him authority and power to go and to live into this mission, this gospel that he is not only embodying, but to proclaim to the world. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Proclaiming good news to the poor is at the heart of what we do. Proclaiming the good news to everybody is at the heart of what we do. Because at that point, it would have been the privileged who would have heard the good news. It would have been the rich who would have heard the good news. And Jesus is saying, no, I've come to proclaim the good news to you, my homies, right here in the place I grew up, the Jewish people here in the synagogue that I live and breathe and I've grown up with, and we're starting with the poor, and we're not leaving anybody behind in this picture. He'll say the same thing to his disciples in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. You remember what he told them? "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." That's mission. That's what we're doing and called to do out in the world. And as we're aligned with God, as we're in relationship with God, often the language that we reserve for discipleship, being in relationship with God, being in relationship with God is essential for us to be aligned with God in mission. And when we're aligned with God in mission, then mission also aligns us with others. Because what is Jesus going to say? "He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Do you hear those things? Those are so many ministries contained in there. Prison ministries and justice ministries and mercy ministries. And I can promise you that right now, this morning, that there are men in the Hightower unit who are incarcerated, who are receiving the forgiveness of Jesus Christ like they've never received in their life. In fact, they will walk away from this Kairos weekend and say, "I can't believe I had to go to prison to find out what it truly means to be free." That is happening right now. There are people whose houses have been flooded that I have spoken to who are in tears because of the outpouring of the church around them, and they have felt the kind of love and mercy of grace that they've never experienced before in their lives. There are people who are burdened and feel oppressed by the debt they're carrying. Then they're going to come to Financial Peace University, and they're going to find freedom from that. And there are people who are oppressed and pushed down that need to be uplifted by our actions, by who we are as we join God in the world in missions. All of this is to show that coming in, that beginning, that dawning of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And And I love it. I love it that right after this, in those final verses, after he read it and everybody's looking at him, do you remember what he said in verse 21? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today. Today. Not someday, not one day, not when I come back again. Today, right now, the kingdom is intruding in your world. He would say another, the kingdom has come near. The kingdom is dawning. It is happening today. And so he puts a time stamp on our mission. He says, come on, church. What are you waiting for? Get in relationship with God so that you can be aligned and really know where God is leading you and guiding you in the middle of this. I know 1,547,967,223 great causes out in the world. How do you know which one to get in the middle of? How do you know which one to follow? They're all good causes. But when God's Holy Spirit, in relationship with him, draws us into relational, missional ministry in the world, then we become the church. All of these things are essential. It is not enough for us to go to the best of Bible studies in small groups and to never do anything with that. We need to go. We need to be. That's the heart of God. That's why we exist. So we have this mission to join God, to be the voice of his grace and hope, to be the sunlight bursting through the storm clouds. And I don't know about you, sometimes that feels heavy. And sometimes I don't know exactly what step to take. So I have to turn back and say, I need you again, God, and right now, this moment. God, guide my steps. God, align me with you. God, put me to doing what you want me to do or set me aside. But God, this needs to be about you, not just me doing good stuff that I feel good about. So are you there, church? Are you actively allowing God to guide your actions? And to know that being in mission happens at your school and happens at your workplace and happens where you work. It doesn't always happen in Tanzania. We do good stuff there, and it doesn't have to be in a prison. It happens every single place where you're serving the Lord. Do everything as if you're doing it for the Lord. My prayer as we continue to talk about this is that our understanding of being in mission and being aligned with God will continue to be transformed. And that in the deepening of that relationship with him, that we might follow him more closely every day of our life. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this time with you, this time to share. It's time to allow you to open our hearts to realize that we are all missionaries. Wherever you are sending us, wherever we are stepping right after this, God, we are all missionaries and we are all called to take your good news into whatever space you are sending us to. God, help us to quit trying to do that on our own, and also help us to quit hiding away from it, thinking that this is only Sunday chatter. But instead, help us to live in that part of you, your heart, your attitude, that we step into who you are and are so aligned with you that we are proclaiming your good news and offering forgiveness and hope and release to the world as your church, as your missionaries. Come, Holy Spirit, do that work within us. May it all be for your glory. All for your glory.